Does everybody know who Ezra is or was? Ezra and Nehemiah? Okay, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Haggai were all contemporaries. And they were the ones that were the leaders when the temple was going to be rebuilt after it had been destroyed by during the Babylonian captivity. And Ezra, I can't remember if he was a high priest or if Nehemiah was. One of them. He was prominent as a religious leader and reformer among the returning exiles. Ezra was vitally interested in the project of rebuilding the temple. His intimate association with Nehemiah gave him first-hand knowledge of the events recorded in the book now known under the name of Nehemiah. So, this was during the decree of Cyrus from 539 to the time of Nehemiah, covered by the book. Anyway, so we're talking about 538 BC in that time frame, 540 BC. The book that's in the Bible, known as Ezra, is much less than the book that's in the Apocrypha, known as Ezra. The book that's in the Apocrypha is Ezra 1, 2, and 3. Now this, then, what we're going to read here is the fourth book of Ezra. And it's nobody knows for sure whether it was ever considered canon, but if it was, it would have been canon around the time 200 to 100 BC in that area. Canon means it was accepted as the stamp of approval by the that it wasn't by the Sanhedrin. Okay? Now, the reason this is important is there's a great deal of Ezra talks about the Son of God, the Son of Man and the Son of God. And it talks about how the Jews are going to get wiped out and they would be no more, and that the Gentiles would then become God's people. Well, of course, when you have that kind of writing to the Jews, they're not too excited about it. So, all right. I'm going to just read some, and then depending on time, is how much we won't read. Everybody understand a little bit? Remember, this is the stuff that was read at about the time of Hanukkah. Trying to get an idea of the feeling of expectation around the time just previous to the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. This is called the second book of the prophet Ezra, in this internally.
Is this part of the, when you say this was read, is this part of the three-year cycle, or is this part of the temple readings, or the synagogue readings?
No, it's like, the only thing, when it was read, when I say it was read for the three-year cycle, that was a very prescribed reading, and it was from the Law, the Writings, and the Prophets. But they also read many other sources around, like it would be like today if we read Norman Graub or read Oswald Chambers. So they read many other things around that time that were considered, they didn't have the weight of the writings that were in the Bible, but they had the weight of writings in general that were considered.
Is there like a bestseller list or something?
So this would be studied in a typical synagogue.
This would be studied. This probably wouldn't be studied in the temple. This would be studied in the synagogue meetings like this. Remember, the thing that we forget here because of our idiotic way our minds work is that never, no matter how much I tell you to interrupt, to ask questions, normally the response is to sit and listen. And the reason is because our whole structure, even in school, has been not to be one of the, we don't use the Socratic method, which is argument, which is, but in the synagogues, a synagogue was a place of open debate. And to get an idea of this, remember that Paul and the first century Christians were all members of synagogues. They all read the same scriptures, they just argued about its meaning. And when Paul would go visit Corinth, or go visit Ephesus, or go visit Smyrna, or one of the other places where there were synagogues, he would go, and as was the custom, there would be a reading, and they would, somebody would say then, has anyone something to say? Say on. And then Paul would come in and say on and talk about Messiah that had already come, and then they'd have these huge arguments. But it's that's what makes it fun. But when you sit there like a bump on a log,
the reason I personally don't is because I don't trust anything of what I ever believed or read.
Well, that's fine.
I mean,
test it then.
Test it. Test me. Well, let's start here. This is where Ezra is rejected by Israel, so Ezra turns to the Gentiles. I, Ezra, received a command from the Lord in Mount Horeb to go to Israel. When I came to them, they rejected me and refused the Lord's commandment. Therefore I say unto you, O nations that hear and understand, await your shepherd. He will give you everlasting rest, because he who will come at the end of the age is close at hand. Be ready for the rewards of the kingdom, because the eternal light will shine upon you forevermore. Flee now from the shadow of this age. Receive the joy of your glory. I publicly call on my Savior to witness. Receive what the Lord has entrusted to you and be joyful, giving thanks to him who has called you to heavenly kingdoms. Rise and stand and see at the feast of the Lord the number of those who have been sealed. Those who have departed from the shadow of this age have received glorious garments from the Lord. Take again your full number, O Zion, and conclude the list of your people who are clothed in white, who have fulfilled the law of the Lord. The number of your children whom you desired is full. Beseech the Lord's power that your people who have been called from the beginning may now be made holy. That's an incredible statement. 200 years before Christ. I, Ezra, saw on Mount Zion a great multitude, which I could not number, and they were all praising the Lord with songs. In their midst was a young man of great stature, taller than any of the others. And on the head of each of them he placed a crown, but he was more exalted than they. And I was held spellbound. Then I asked the angel, who are these, my Lord? And he answered and said to me, these are they who have put off mortal clothing and put on the immortal. And they have confessed the name of God, who now they are being crowned and receive palms. And I said to the angel, who is that young man who places crowns on them and puts them in their hands? He answered and said to me, he is the Son of God, whom they confessed in the world. So I began to praise those who had stood valiantly for the name of God. Then the angel said to me, go, tell my people how great and many are the wonders of the Lord God which you have seen.
When Christ only, I mean, he says, I only am given those that my Father gives me, right? So Christ himself just goes out and he's a minister to the elect. Okay, is that fair so far? So when he sees Christ handing out the crowns, Christ is acting in behalf of God's directive to crown the elect. Is that basically what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. Then we always get back to this thing that church struggles with so many times, where you know you have no idea. And I need to ask this. We have no idea about anybody else. And the question always comes back to, do you know about yourself? And I, up until recently, I said, well, who cares? But then you said, but you know, you can know that you know. Well, what the hell does that mean now? I'm confused about it.
Go to the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove or test your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Now, do you understand that in a principle of biblical interpretation is that the opposite is then true? In other words, it defines reprobate. A reprobate is one who doesn't know that Jesus Christ is in them. All right, but that doesn't answer your question. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth. In other words, Paul is saying, even if I am a reprobate, test what I say to see whether or not it's true. If you go back to the point of Moses, Moses said, kill them, Lord. Kill me instead of them, Lord. Job said, throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Paul said, I would be that I could be accursed for my brethren's sake. You have to go through this process. If the child is wandering around saying, oh my God, am I saved or am I not saved? What do I love? But you finally get to a point where you say, there's no question. I understand salvation. Then you finally get to a point beyond that which says, it doesn't matter. All of them are valid steps on this child, adolescent young man, on the father. The child, of course, the child's wondering, am I saved or am I not saved? What does that mean? Adolescence, what the hell, what's happening? The young man, I'm secure, I know. Father says it doesn't matter. I have to do what I'm doing anyway. And I place whether I am in his hands.
Which goes full circle, because when you're a newborn baby, you don't think about that, you don't care about that.
Well, I think you do. At first you do. The only time that the question is asked is that whether you're saved or not is really at that first. You were going to say. You started to say, and it's Sherry spoke for you. I mean, I'm not trying to get around it. Did I answer the question or not?
Well, it's almost like I've hammered home in myself and that, well, you don't care anymore, you don't care anymore, you don't care anymore. And I don't know whether I'm hearing that anymore or I'm hearing what's really there.
Why don't you just stop talking to yourself?
Well, yeah, but I still have that question. And
okay, the question is, the answer is, if for you to live as Christ, you're saved. If for you to live as Mike, you're going right down to the pit.
Right. So if you're in a state where you judge it or you try and figure it out, you know you're not in the right state anyway. But at the same time, you said one in Bible study, and it still rings bells every time I hear it, about being secure in the faith, secure in salvation.
But the true meaning of security is that the question leaves your mind.
Okay, so it's security. It sounds a lot like oblivion, you know?
No. I can't remember the last time I was concerned with whether or not I was saved. It was years ago. doesn't enter my mind.
But that isn't proof of anything, is it?
The only thing that you can prove that's empirically verifiable of all of this stuff is that you're fallen.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. Well, she does.
Something else is going on here.
Well, I know the answer to this question. That's what's weird about this. It's what you said that one time, and I should have brought it up then, but I didn't. That has been playing around like a ping pong ball up here ever since, and it's. I guess what I'm thinking is, well, I should feel the security too, and it's just not as important. But yet, your statement made it sound important. Am I making?
Yeah, but
if you're trying to be aware of the state of being, other than just being, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I don't discuss it, but you don't wake up every morning thinking, "Does Sherry love me?" You don't wrestle.
Yeah, he does.
No, but you come here, you don't wrestle. Does the body love you? I mean, it's you can go on because it's something you make from time to time. But I mean,
it's the whole. It's the analogy of breathing. The only time you're aware of your breath is when there's trouble catching it.
Yeah. I keep thinking, look at Ezra right here. What we're reading right now. I mean. Angel takes Ezra, shows stuff to Ezra, says, go tell people, right? Ezra isn't going, am I one of them? Am I one of them? What? I mean, Ezra is transparent.
What makes some people go search for the truth and others not? I mean, because sometimes I can see myself in here. I have questions and I sit here, but I won't go home and look them up, or I won't go home and I won't prove it, or...
Well,
but
two,
you take the word of somebody else. And
there's two answers. The first answer is that if we are a body of people, with which we are, then the body, everybody in the body doesn't have to do the same shtick. You don't have to spend 12 years translating the scriptures. That's the one answer. So that if you can prove to yourself for whatever is required of you to prove it to yourself. I mean, with me, to prove it to myself, it was huge. I mean, it was night and day. It was...
Yeah, I mean, if I had to go through what you went through...
Well, you don't, though. I mean, because that's not you. That's not your office. That's not your function. The other half of the coin, though, is that in many cases, people do that. Don't test it because they... And they stop. Everybody is born a truth seeker. I mean, every kid that ever grew up, every child was at one time a truth seeker. But somewhere along the line, they sold out. They sold out to the system and stopped asking the questions. And so if that's what you've done, and you said, oh, I can't think about that, or oh, it's too dangerous to think about that, or oh, I'm afraid to think about that, or to talk about that, or bring that up. Well, then that's the signal. But otherwise, just trust your instinct. I mean, you know, I'd hate to have my kneecap be the one that digested that food we had tonight.
Yeah.
But I'd hate to have my stomach move my leg. I mean, we're a body of people. You don't have to do the...
Remember the early years of us, Gary Butler, you know, with stroke, it seemed like we do that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I'm not studying enough.
Study enough or pray enough. Or, I mean, it's just, we're a body. I mean, maybe you're a kneecap, maybe you're...
No, you don't have to sweat it, but you just have to be honest to yourself. Okay?
And isn't the bottom line that God really does the choosing and the picking? And if we want to have freedom and peace and joy now, we can be saved now at this moment. What happens after our deaths? It's not like we can do anything about it anyway.
I know, but again, the key to it is that you have to follow your own hunger. You can't follow someone else's, or you can't follow someone else's saying that you should be hungrier than you are. I mean, all I did, I've never done anything but pull strings. I mean, if I saw something I didn't understand, I kept pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling until it was made real. And it was true in every element of what... After I became a believer. There's nothing that we do scripturally, and nothing that we do as a community that didn't come with huge problems. I mean, it was a, you know, you can imagine the idea of celebrating the feasts. I mean, where did that come from? Well, it was a huge deal. You know, you can imagine the idea of, well, all of the stuff that we do. So it's, I promise you, there's many witnesses for everything that we do and teach, but you, that doesn't do you any good unless you ask, unless you satisfy your own hunger.
And you can't really prove it, what he said, until you pinpoint a real specific and then go home and search it out yourself.
Okay.
There's a thing that you talked about a lot about, the preaching of the cross, so then the parish foolishness, and then they're saved is the power. And you said that, I remember this, that it isn't, that the verb tense there is, those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it's just, are you in the way or not in the way?
Well, that ties in with this
word. I mean, and I know, you know, I mean, for 2 hours yesterday, I wasn't being saved.
Yeah, that's the dude, you know
what. When's the end going to come? I don't know. I hope the hell it comes when I pick up the cross.
And that picks up that?
As opposed to me.
Ties in with the scripture.
You know, you keep asking the question, am I saved? It depends on when you ask.
Okay, I'm not really asking that question.
What are you asking?
I'm asking why. Why is there any kind of a thing in our mind or in our lives that we can actually judge our own salvation? That's really where I'm headed, I mean.
Well, it has to be that way. You had to have the capacity for self-consciousness in order that abandonment would be meaningful.
Otherwise, you'd just be an angel or a dog.
So you see your evil, run from it. You know, that makes sense.
Because that's the only way fellowship is possible.
There's only one way you and I can know each other's stuff.
Right.
Okay. We could read for everybody, but I'm just picking and choosing, and if you're hungry enough, you'll go and find the book and read it yourself. But don't expect to check it out from Ollie's library. You can come in there and read it without taking the book away. Guess I told him, didn't I? Now concerning the signs, behold, the days are coming when those who dwell on earth shall be seized with great terror, and the way of truth shall be hidden. And the land shall be barren of faith, and unrighteousness shall be increased beyond what you yourself see, and beyond what you heard of formerly. And the land which you now see ruling shall be waste and untrodden, and men shall see it desolate. But if the Most High grants that you live, you shall see it thrown into confusion after the third period. And the sun shall suddenly shine forth at night, and the moon during the day. Blood shall drip from wood, and stone shall utter its voice. The people shall be troubled, and the stars shall fall. And one shall reign whom those who dwell on earth do not expect. And the birds shall fly away together, and the sea of Sodom shall cast up fish. And one whom they may not know shall make his voice heard by night, and all shall hear his voice. And there shall be chaos also in many places, and fire shall often break out, and the wild beasts shall roam beyond their haunts.
Wait, on the Sodom cast up fish, is that like Christians coming out of the sinful, I mean, is that what that's talking about?
Probably not.
What is it?
The Sea of Sodom is the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
And there's nothing alive in it.
Oh, there.
So now it's really confusing.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's everything is blood. Blood shall drip from wood. Stone shall talk.
Yeah, all impossible.
Stone shall fall to earth.
All right. There shall be chaos in many places, and fire shall often break out, and wild beasts shall roam beyond their haunts, and minstrels women shall bring forth monsters.
Hmm. Ooh.
Well, that's, I didn't want to read that. Uh-oh. And salt water shall be found in the sweet, and all friends shall conquer one another. Then shall reason hide itself, and wisdom shall withdraw into its chamber. And it shall be sought by many, but shall not be found, in unrighteousness and unrestraint shall increase on the earth instead. And one country shall ask its neighbor, has righteousness or anyone who does right pass through you? And it will answer no. And at that time men shall hope, but not obtain. They shall labor, but their way shall not prosper. These are the signs which I am permitted to tell you. And if you pray again, and weep as you do now, and fast for 7 days, ye shall hear yet greater things than these. I'm gonna go back. I didn't read a part that I wanted to. Then I answered and said, I beseech you, my Lord, why have I been endowed with the power of understanding? For I did not wish to inquire about the ways above, but about things which we daily experience. Why Israel has been given over to the Gentiles as a reproach. Why the people whom you loved have been given to godless tribes, and the law of our fathers has been made of no effect, and the written covenants no longer exist, and why we pass from the world like locusts, and our life is like a mist, and we are not worthy to obtain mercy. But what will he do for his name by which we are called? It is about these things that I have asked. He answered me and said, if you are alive, you will see, and if you live long, you will often marvel, because the age is hastening swiftly to its end. For it will not be able to bring the things that have been promised to the righteous in their appointed times, because this age is full of sadness and infirmities. For the evil one about which you ask has been sown, and the harvest of it has not yet come. The full harvest has not yet come. If therefore that which has been sown is not reaped, and if the place where the evil has been sown does not pass away, the field where the good has been sown will not come. For a grain of evil seed was sown in Adam's heart from the beginning. How much more ungodliness it has produced until now, and will produce until a time of threshing comes. Consider now for yourselves how much fruit of ungodliness a grain of evil seed has produced. When heads of grain without number are sown, how great a threshing floor they will fill. Then I answered and said, how long, and when will these things be? And why are our years few and evil? He answered me and said, you do not hasten faster than the Most High, for your haste is for yourself. But the Highest hastens on behalf of many. Did not the souls of the righteous in their chambers ask about these matters, saying, how long are we to remain here? And when will come the harvest of our reward? And Jeremiel, the archangel, answered them and said, when the number of those like yourselves is completed, for he has weighed the age in the balance and measured the times by measure, and numbered the times by number, and he will not move nor arouse them until a measure is fulfilled. And then I answered and said, O sovereign Lord, but all of us also are full of ungodliness, and it is perhaps on account of us that the time of threshing is delayed for the righteous, on account of the sins of those who dwell on earth. He answered me and said, go and ask a woman who is with child if when her 9 months have been completed, her womb can keep the child within her any longer. No, my Lord, I said, it cannot. He said to me, in Hades the chambers of the souls are like the womb. For just as a woman who is in travail makes haste to escape the pangs of birth, so also do those places hasten to give back those things which were committed to them from the beginning. Then the things that you desire to see will be disclosed to you. I answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, and if it is possible, and I am worthy, show me this also, whether more time is to come than has passed, or whether for us the greater part has gone by. For I know what has gone by, but I do not know what is to come. And he said to me, stand at my right side, and I will show you the interpretation of a parable. So I stood, and behold, a flaming furnace passed by before me. And when a flame had gone by, I looked, and behold, the smoke remained. And after this, a cloud full of water passed before me and poured down a heavy and violent rain. And when the rainstorm had passed, drops remained in the cloud. And he said to me, consider it for yourself, for as the rain is more than the drops, and the fire is greater than the smoke, so the quantity that passed was far greater, but the drops and smoke remained. Then I prayed and said, do you think that I shall live until those days, or who shall be alive in those days? He answered me and said, concerning the signs about which you asked me, I can tell you in part, but I was not sent to tell you concerning your life, for I do not know. And one country shall ask its neighbor his righteousness, or anyone who does right pass through you, and it will answer no. At that time men shall hope, but not obtain. They shall labor, but not their ways shall not prosper. These are the signs which I am permitted to tell you. And if you pray again and weep as you do now, and fast for 7 days, you shall hear yet greater things than these. Then I awoke, and my body shuddered violently, and my soul was so troubled that it fainted. But the angel who had come and talked with me held me and strengthened me and set me on my feet. Now on the second night, Phaltiel, a chief of the people, came to me and said, where have you been and why is your face sad? Or do you not know that Israel has been entrusted to you in the land of their exile? Rise therefore and eat some bread so that you may not forsake us like a shepherd who leaves his flock in the power of savage wolves. Then I said to him, depart from me and do not come near me for 7 days, and then you may come to me. He heard what I said and left me, so I fasted 7 days, mourning and weeping, as Uriel the angel had commanded me. And after 7 days the thoughts of my heart were grievous to me again. Then my soul recovered the spirit of understanding, and I began once more to speak words in the presence of the Most High. And I said, O Sovereign Lord, from every forest of the earth and from all its trees you have chosen one vine, and from all the lands of the world you have chosen for yourself one place, and from all the flowers of the world you have chosen for yourself one lily, and from all the depths of the sea you have filled for yourself one river, and from all the cities you have built you have consecrated only one for yourself. From all the birds that have been created you have named for yourself one dove. From all the flocks that have been fashioned, you have provided for yourself one sheep. And from all the multitude of people, you have gotten for yourself only one people. And to this people whom you loved, whom you have given the law, which is approved by all, and now, O Lord, why have you given over the one you love to the many, and dishonored the one root beyond the others, and scattered your only one among the many? And those who opposed your promises have trodden down on those who believed your covenants. If you really hate your people, should not they be punished at your own hands? Sounds like it's Bible study. When I had spoken those words, the angel who had come to me on a previous night was sent to me, and he said to me, listen, you dumbass.
He walked him on the top of the head.
He did.
And he said to me, listen to me, and I will instruct you. Pay attention to me, and I will tell you more. Speak on, my Lord, I said. And he said to me, are you greatly disturbed in mind over Israel? Or do you love him more than his maker does? No, my Lord, I said, but because of the grief I have spoken, for every hour I suffer agonies of heart, will I strive to understand the way of the Most High and to search out part of his judgment. He said to me, you cannot. And I said, why not, my Lord? Why then was I born, or why did not my mother's womb become my grave, that I might not see the travail of Jacob and the exhaustion of the people of Israel? He said to me, count up for me those who have not yet come, and gather for me the scattered raindrops, and make for me the withered flower bloom again. Open for me the closed chamber, and bring forth for me the winds shut up in them. Or show me the picture of a voice, and then I will explain to you the travail that you asked to understand. It's pretty neat stuff. O Sovereign Lord, I said, who is able to know these things except he whose dwelling is not with men? As for me, I am without wisdom, and how can I speak concerning the things which you have just asked me? He said to me, just as you cannot do one of the things that were mentioned, so you cannot discover my judgment or the goal of the love that I have promised my people. I said, yet behold, O Lord, you have charged of those who are alive at the end, but what will those who were before us, or we, or those who come after us? He said to me, I shall liken my judgment to a circle. Just as for those who are last, there is now slowness, so for those who are first, there is no haste. And I answered and said, could you not have created at one time those who have been and those who are now and those who will be, that you might show your judgment the sooner? He replied to me and said, the creation cannot make more haste than the Creator, neither can the world hold at one time those who have been created in it. And I said, how have you said to your servant that you will certainly give life at one time to your creation? If therefore all creatures will live at one time, and the creation will sustain them, it might not even now be able to support all of them present at one time. He said to me, ask a woman's womb, and say to it, if you bear 10 children, why one after another? Request it therefore to produce 10 at one time. I said, oh, of course. No, I said, of course it cannot, but only each at its own time. He said to me, even so have I given the womb of the earth to those who from time to time are sown in it. For as an infant does not bring forth, and a woman who has become old does not bring forth any longer, so have I organized the world which I created. Then I inquired and said, since you have now given me the opportunity, let me speak before you. Is our mother, of whom you have told me, still young, or is she approaching old age? He replied to me, ask a woman who bears children, and she will tell you. Say to her, why are those whom you have born recently not like those whom you bore before? And she herself will answer you, those born in the strength of youth are different from those born during the time of old age when the womb is failing. Therefore you shall also consider that you and your contemporaries are smaller in stature and implied in mind than those who were before you, and those who come after you will be smaller than you, as born of a creation which already is aging and passing the strength of youth.
Cool.
Is that wild or is that wild?
Winding down.
This is an incredible book. This is like 20 questions. He's answering.
You know, it's neat because in that, I guess I always, it just affirms that nothing is hinging on me, not a thing, and that I've got to realize, because that's therein with comes. I've seen that. Yes, I have.
I know, but put it up here.
Yes, I know. Comes the fear of God. Yes, I know. I'm this speck of dust. But there comes the fear of God, knowing that, you know, at any time.
Yeah, but see, the interesting thing is,
you're out of there.
Yeah.
The fact you've created the idea that you're important as your own defense mechanism. And so the more pride someone has in, you know, outwardly, or the weaker they are, if they could only see it. I said, O Lord, I beseech you, if I have found favor in your sight, show your servant through whom you are going to visit your creation. He said to me, At the beginning of the circle of the earth, before the portals of the worlds were in place, and before the assembled winds blew, and before the rumblings of thunder sounded, and before the flashes of lightning shone, and before the foundations of paradise were laid, and before the beautiful flowers were seen, and before the powers of movement were established, and before the innumerable hosts of angels were gathered together, before the heights of the air were lifted up, and before the measures of the firmaments were named, and before the footstool of Zion was established, and before the present years were reckoned, and before the imaginations of those who now sin were estranged, and before those who stored up treasures of faith were sealed, then I planned these things, and they were made through me and not through another, and just as the end shall come through me and not through another. That's pretty wild writing. I answered and said, what will be the dividing of the times, or when will the end of the first age and the beginning of another follow? He said to me, from Abraham to Isaac, because from him were born Jacob and Esau. For Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. For Esau is the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. For the beginning of a man is his hand, and the end of a man is his heel. Between the heel and the hand, seek for nothing else, Ezra. What the hell does that mean?
I was just gonna ask.
Between the beginning and the end, seek for nothing else.
Well, it's spiritually what it means is, no. Jacob and Esau. Esau became Edom, the flesh. Jacob became Israel, the spirit. So between Israel, between flesh and spirit, seek nothing else. Amen? I answered and said, O sovereign Lord, he's conning them again.
I found favor in this.
What Harry said. O sovereign Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, show your servant the end of your signs, which you showed me in part on a previous night. He answered and said to me, rise to your feet, and you will hear a full, resounding voice. And if the place where you are standing is greatly shaken while a voice is speaking, do not be terrified, because the word concerns the end, and the foundations of the earth will understand that the speech concerns them, and they will tremble and be shaken, for that they know that their end must soon come. When I heard this.
Can you read this?
Yeah. This may be the first time this has been read in a long time.
Can you read this?
When I heard this, I rose to my feet and listened, and behold, a voice was speaking, and its sound was like the sound of many waters, and I said, behold, the days are coming, and it shall be that when I draw near to visit the inhabitants of the earth, and when I require from the doers of iniquity the penalty of their iniquity, and when the humiliation of Zion is complete, and when the seal is placed upon the age which is about to pass away, then I will show these signs. The book shall be opened before the firmament, and all shall see it together. Infants a year old shall speak with their voices, and women with child shall give birth to premature children of 3 or 4 months. And those shall live and dance. Sown places shall suddenly appear unsown, and full storehouses shall suddenly be found empty. The trumpet shall sound aloud, and when all hear it, they shall suddenly be terrified. At that time friends shall make war on friends like enemies, and the earth and those who inhabit it shall be terrified, and the springs of the fountain shall stand still, so that for hours they shall not flow. It shall be that whoever remains after all that I have foretold to you shall be saved, and shall see my salvation at the end of my world. And they shall see the men who were taken up, who from their birth have not tasted death, and the heart of the earth's inhabitants shall be changed and converted to a different spirit. For evil shall be blotted out, and deceit shall be quenched. Faithfulness shall flourish, and corruption shall be overcome, and truth, which has so long been without fruit, shall be revealed. That wasn't written by the same person. Somebody added that. You could feel it. While he spoke to me, behold, little by little, the place where I was standing began to rock and fro, and he said to me, I've come to show you those things this night. If therefore you will pray again and fast for 7 days, I will declare to you greater things than these. Because your voice has surely been heard before the Most High, for the Mighty One has seen your uprightness and also observed the purity which have manifest, which you have maintained from your youth. Therefore he sent me to show you these things and to say to you, believe and do not be afraid. Do not be quick to think vain thoughts concerning the former things, lest you be hasty concerning the last times. You want to hear one more?
I was thinking about this reading. These people perceive correctly. They think right, and they don't think of
them. Yeah, I mean, it's a. If he represented it all the way the people of this time thought, I mean, he must be. He was a leader. It's a different mindset than we have today. Now after this I wept again and fasted 7 days as before in order to complete the 3 weeks as I had been told. And on the eighth night my heart was troubled within me again, and I began to speak in the presence of the Most High, for my spirit was greatly aroused and my soul was in distress. Now what we're going to see. I said, O Lord, you spoke at the beginning of creation and said, on the first day let heaven and earth be made, and your word accomplished the work. And then the Spirit was hovering, and darkness and silence embraced everything, and the sound of a man's voice was not yet there. You commanded that a ray of light be brought forth from your treasuries, so that your works might then appear. And again on the second day you created the spirit of the firmament and commanded him to divide and separate the waters, that one part might move upward and the other part remain beneath. On the third day you commanded the waters to be gathered together in the seventh part of the earth. 6 parts you dried up and kept so that some of them might be planted and cultivated and be of service to you. What the hell is he talking about there? For your word went forth, and at once the work was done, for immediately the fruit came forth in endless abundance and a varied appeal to the taste, and flowers of inimitable color and odors of inexpressible fragrance. These were made on the third day. On the fourth day you commanded the brightness of the sun, the light of the moon, and the arrangement of the stars to come into being, and you commanded them to serve man who was about to be formed. On the fifth day you commanded the seventh part, where the water had been gathered together, to bring forth living creatures, birds and fishes, so that it was done. The dumb and lifeless waters produced living creatures, and it was commanded, and thereafter the nations might declare thy wondrous works. And then you kept in existence 2 living creatures, the name of one you called Behemoth, and then the other Leviathan. And you separated one from the other, for the seventh part where the water had been gathered together could not hold them both. And you gave Behemoth one of the parts which had been dried up on the third day to live in it, where there are 1,000,000 mountains. But to the Leviathan you gave the seventh part, the watery part. You have kept him to be eaten by whom you wish, and when you wish. And on the sixth day you commanded the earth to bring forth your cattle, beasts, creeping things, and over these you placed Adam as ruler and the works you had made, and from him we have all come, the people you have chosen. All this I have spoken before you, O Lord, because you have said that it was for us that you created this world. As for the other nations which have descended from Adam, you have said that they are as nothing, and they are like spittle, and you have compared their abundance to a drop from a bucket. And now, O Lord, behold these nations which are reputed to be as nothing, domineer over us and devour us. But we, your people, whom you have called your firstborn, your only begotten, your zealous for you, and most dear, have been given into their hands. If the world indeed has been created for us, why do we not possess our own world? How long will this be so?
What is this?
How long will this bus make a question?
It sounds like Kenya, a pillar on the roof. I know what you're doing.
It's sad that these books aren't read anymore. These are great books. When I had finished speaking these words, The angel who had been sent to me on the former nights was sent to me again, and he said to me, "Rise, Ezra, and listen to the words that I have come to speak to you." And I said, "Speak, my Lord." And he said to me, "There is a sea set in a wide expanse, so that it is broad and vast, but it has an entrance set in a narrow place, so that it is like a river. If anyone then wishes to reach the sea, to look at it, or to navigate it, how can he come to the broad part unless he pass through the narrow part?" Another example, "There is a city built and set on a plain. It is full of all good things, but the entrance to it is narrow and set in a precipitous place, so that there is fire on the right hand and deep water on the left. And there is only one path lying between them, that is, between the fire and the water, so that only one man can walk upon that path at a time. Now if that city is given to a man for an inheritance, how will the heir receive his inheritance unless he passes through the fire and the water set before him?" I said, "He cannot, Lord." And he said to me, "So also is Israel's portion. For I made the world for their sake, and when Adam transgressed my statutes, what had been made was judged, so that the entrances of this world were made narrow and sorrowful and toilsome. They are few and evil, full of dangers, involved in great hardships. But the entrances of the greater world are broad and safe, and really yield the fruit, readily yield the fruit of immorality. Therefore, unless the living pass through the difficult and vain experiences, they can never receive those things that have been reserved for them. But now, why are you disturbed, seeing that you are about to perish? And why are you moved, seeing that you are mortal? And why have you not considered in your mind what is to come, rather than what is now present?" Then I answered and said, "O sovereign Lord, behold, you have ordained in your law that the righteous shall inherit these things, but the ungodly shall perish. The righteous, therefore, can endure difficult circumstances while hoping for easier ones. But those who have done wickedly have suffered the difficult circumstances and will not see the easier ones." He said to me, you are not a better judge than God, or wiser than the Most High, that many perish who are now living rather than the law of God which is set before them be disregarded. For God strictly commanded those who came into the world when they came that they should what they should do to live, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. Nevertheless, they were not obedient and spoke against him. They devised for themselves vain thoughts and proposed to themselves wicked frauds. They even declared that the Most High does not exist, and they ignored his ways. They scorned his law and denied his covenants, and they have been unfaithful to his statutes and have not performed his work. Therefore, Ezra, empty things are for the empty, and full things are for the full. For behold, the time will come when the signs which I have foretold to you will come to pass. The city which is now not seen shall appear, and the land which now is hidden shall be disclosed. And everyone who has been delivered from the evils that I have foretold shall see my wonders. For my son, the Messiah, shall be revealed with those who are with him, and those who remain shall rejoice 400 years.
Those who are with Christ,
yes, this is interesting. The Arab version of this says 1 year. They rejoice for 1 year. The Syrian version of it says 30 years. The second Arab version says 1,000 years, and the Armenians omit it.
So the thousand-year reign comes from the Arabs?
No, the thousand-year reign. There's 1,000 years in Revelation, too. There's
1,035.
Huh?
Was it 1,031?
No, it's 1,000 years. Just 1,001,000. You're thinking of something else. "And after these years, my son, the Messiah, shall die, and all who draw human breath." I can't believe that this had to be added after, by the Christians. Because you can tell something. I don't know, that's pretty strong. "And the world shall be turned back to primeval silence for 7 days as it was at the beginning. so that no one shall be left. And after 7 days, the world which is not yet awake shall be roused, and that which is corruptible shall perish. And the earth shall give up those who are asleep in it, and the chamber shall give up the souls which have committed to them, and the Most High shall be revealed upon the seat of judgment. And compassion shall pass away, and patience shall be withdrawn, but judgment alone shall remain, truth alone shall stand, and only faithfulness shall grow strong. And recompense shall follow, and the reward shall be manifested. Righteous deeds shall awake, and unrighteous shall not sleep. The pit of torment shall appear, and opposite shall be the place of rest. The furnace of hell shall be disclosed, and opposite at the paradise of delight. Then the Most High will say to the nations that have been raised from the dead, look now and understand whom you have denied, whom you have not served, whose commandments you have despised. Look on this side and on that. Here are delight and rest, and there are fire and torments. And thus he will speak to them on that day of judgment, a day that is no sun or moon or stars or cloud or thunder or lightning or wind or water or air, nor darkness or evening or morning or summer or spring or heat or winter or frost or cold or hail or rain or dew or noon or night or dawn or shining or brightness or light, but only the splendor of the glory of the Most High, by which all shall see what has been determined for them. For it will last a week of years. This is my judgment and its prescribed order, and to you alone have I shown these things. Wow. I answered and said, O Sovereign Lord, I said then and I say now, blessed are those who are alive and keep your commandments. But what of those who, for whom I prayed, for whom among the living is there that has not sinned, or among men that has not transgressed your... But for who is there among the living that has not sinned? Or who among men that has not transgressed your covenant? And now I see that the world to come will bring delight to few, but torment to many. For an evil heart has grown up in us, which has alienated us from God, and has brought us into corruption and the ways of death, and has shown us the paths of perdition and removed us far from life. And that not just a few of us, but almost all who have been created are destined for death. And he answered me and said, listen to me, Ezra, and I will instruct you, and I will admonish you yet again. For this reason the Most High has made not one world, but two. For whereas you have said the righteous are not many, but few, while the ungodly around here are the explanations for this. If you have just a few precious stones, will you add to them lead and clay? I said, Lord, how could that be? And he said to me, not only that, but ask the earth, and she will tell you. Defer to her, and she will declare it to you. Say to her, you produce gold and silver and brass, and also iron and lead and clay. But silver is more abundant than gold, and brass than silver, and iron than brass, and lead than iron, and clay than lead. Judge therefore which things are precious and desirable, those that are abundant or those that are rare. I said, O Sovereign Lord, what is plentiful is of less worth, for what is more rare is more precious. And he answered me and said, weigh within yourself what you have thought. For he who has what is hard to get rejoices more than he who has what is plentiful. So also will the judgment which I have promised. For I will rejoice over the few who shall be saved, because it is they who have made my glory to prevail now. And through them my name is honored. And now I will not grieve over the multitude of those who perish. For it is they who are like now like mist, and are similar to a flame and smoke. They are set on fire and burn hotly, and then are extinguished quickly.